Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one who leads us soldiers into our war against the devil. Amen. I want to talk about the epistle today from Ephesians 5, this great text of the armor of God. We pray as we consider God's word further today. Lord, your word is a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. May it ever shine on the church and give us truth and give us strength and give us peace and richly bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, who here has been in a war? What did we just sing? Onward, Christian soldiers. Maybe it was sleeping Christian soldiers. We don't realize we're in a war. Maybe you think, yeah, I was in a war yesterday at German Fest trying to battle, get in line for a brat and sauerkraut. If that was only the worst war we had to fight, we'd be okay. No, we are not in a war at German Fest for a meal. And we're not in World War I anymore or World War II. And we're not in Vietnam anymore or the Korean War or the Iraq War. I'm not talking about that or the war against terror. But we, the baptized, we Christians are at war. And that is Ephesians 5. Had a great day yesterday here at First Lutheran. I know many of you were here for the German Fest. It's a great highlight. A couple thousand people here. A lot of people taking a tour of the church and learning a bit about our church and able to talk about Jesus in the windows, share the gospel. Had a lot of fun and good fellowship and good food. And it's a good day. And the readings today kind of bring us down again. And that's the Christian life. We have our times of being up. Oh, everything's great. This is a fabulous event, whatever it is in the church. But then the readings have a way of kind of bringing us back down to reality. We're at war. And things aren't always so easy and so wonderful and happy smiles everywhere. And that is Ephesians 5. And there are three simple lessons from Ephesians 5 for the church today. And that is, number one, beware. Paul says at the end of the text, keep alert, wake up, beware, and realize who the real enemy is. And as the Spirit says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The real enemy is not a human being out there. For the people of this day, he's saying the real enemy is not the Jews who hate you. It's not the Roman soldiers who hate you. They're not the real enemy. For us today, the real enemy is not ISIS. They're an enemy, mind you. They're not the biggest enemy. The real enemy is not the media. It's not the government that passes laws that we don't like as Christians. They can be an enemy, but not the real enemy. The real enemy is not your boss at work or the rascal living next to you. The real enemy is who? The devil and the demons. And this is serious business. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. He is saying the devil and the demons are powerful. They're not wimps. They're not weaklings. The devil's not some bumbling fool with a pitchfork that we see in a cartoon somewhere. He calls them rulers and authorities and cosmic powers to impress upon us he's real. And he means business. The Bible describes the devil not as a mosquito or a fly or an ant that pesters you, but you can kill it easily. There are three main animals the devil is compared to. A dragon, the book of Revelation. I don't want to mess with a dragon. How about you? A serpent, a poisonous serpent, the Garden of Eden. And a roaring what? A roaring lion looking for someone to devour. None of them can we possibly take care of ourselves. Beware of the real enemy, the devil. And he's not here just to scare us. He is here to take us away from Christ our Savior, take away our faith gradually or quickly, and then we go to hell. He wants us to stay away from the word that we hear right now, away from the sacrament, away from confession. Stay away from Christ here. Stay away. Divide us from Christ. We lose our faith. We go to hell. And that is his goal. He's after the Christian church. He already has the world. He wants to keep the world, but he's really after the church. He cannot defeat God because God defeated him. He's after God's children, and we're the children. He is nasty, he's evil, he's ruthless. Beware of the real enemy. And one final thing, and then I'll move on to point number two. We're told here about his flaming darts. That kind of struck me as we have this weaponry language. The flaming darts of the evil one. A flaming dart was a common weapon of a Roman soldier. It was a dart or an arrow with a, they could put a flame on the end of it. And they would use this in close-up warfare, where they were close and just shoot someone right in the heart and kill them instantly. A direct close-up attack and you're dead. But also they would shoot the arrows far away when the enemy's out there a little ways and land the flaming arrow in their camp and create a fire. And the fire would gradually spread and gradually spread. If you shoot a lot of arrows, it spreads more and more, and we can't put out the fire. It was more of a gradual, slow defeat of the enemy. A direct assault, I'm going to get you right now, you're dead, and then maybe I'll gradually get you from far away. But I'm going to try to get you either way. This may help us understand the ways of the devil. Sometimes he has direct assaults at our heart. It's direct, it's quick, it's a quick attack. It can be persecution. It can be persecution, where you're told, deny Christ. We may get there here, and many Christians in the world are right there. They're right there with a direct attack. Leave Christ or you're going to die. Persecution. It can be a tragedy. Something horrible happens. He's right after your heart. A direct attack. I'm going to get you right now. You're going to curse God and die. Talk about Job here. That was the flaming dart right at his heart. I'm going to take away all you have in one day, buddy, and you're going to curse God and die. But God kept Job in the faith, and God won. It can be Judas, who betrayed our Lord. That's a pretty quick attack. I mean, Jesus, he came after Jesus really hard as he tempted him and in the Garden of Gethsemane at the cross. And so us. But maybe more so for us, it's the gradual long-range assault. He creates a fire of evil around us, and sometimes we don't even know there's a fire of evil. And he slowly takes away the faith and makes us drift from God. And I think of Solomon, who we've been studying. He kind of had the slow, faraway darts at Solomon as he led Solomon into greed. And greed takes a little time when money takes over your heart. Usually it doesn't happen right away. A little bit of time. I want more money and more money and more things. And next thing I don't know, I want God at all. And then Solomon had many wives. Women led him astray. And wealth and his power. Gradually I'll get you away from God. And the people of Israel are that way. As he led them to grumble and complain. I'll be slow about this. I have some time. But they grumbled, they complained, they fell into idolatry. Not overnight. It took a little time to fall into idolatry. And maybe this is more the tactic here in America. I'll take my time and slowly get them away from the word and sacrament, and they'll drift away and I'll have them. Is the fire burning around you and you don't even feel it? Beware. But more than beware is the great announcement from the Holy Spirit here, the great call. Believe, church, secondly. Believe. Believe you're protected by Christ. Believe you have the whole armor of God upon you, and God's defeated the devil. And if you have the armor of God, you win. You're victorious. So have confidence. Be bold. You're covered in Christ. And proclaim the gospel. And stand. Four times we have the word stand here. Stand and stand and stand. Don't run and cower, but stand up, because you're covered in Christ. More than warning us against the devil here, this text is to assure us of our safety and protection in Jesus. It's a lot more gospel than it is law. And note the armor. We love the armor described here. And note, this is all the armor of a Roman soldier. Paul, when he writes Ephesians, is in prison. He sits in prison and he doesn't cry and pout, but he writes letters to churches. He makes use of his time. A good lesson right there for us. When we're in a bad situation, make the most of it for God and don't pout and cry about it all the time. So he writes this letter. He probably sees a Roman soldier right there outside the jail cell. And he said, that's a picture of the Christian. And Roman soldiers were invincible. You don't mess with a Roman soldier in that day. They were seen as invincible, strong, talented. They had been trained well. You don't mess with them. We can't get a Roman soldier. And so the Spirit is saying, you know, don't you realize how strong and invincible you are as a Christian? Yes, you are weak by yourself, but you are strong in Christ. You're invincible. You're covered in Christ. He's conquered all hell. So don't be afraid and stand up, because you have Christ. And notice there are seven pieces of armor. The armor covers us from the head, the helmet of salvation, to the feet, the sandals of the gospel. We're fully covered from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. Again, there are seven pieces of armor. There is the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of the gospel, the shield of faith, 4, the helmet of salvation, 5, the sword of the Spirit, 6, and prayer. 7 is the perfect number. You are perfectly covered. And notice how all the armor is of God, gifts of God. The Spirit does not call upon us to look within our own human capability to fight the devil. The Spirit doesn't say, you know, you have a lot of willpower in you. You have a lot of human wisdom and creativity. Use your human wisdom, your creativity. You're an American, by the way. You're strong. You're tough. Make America better. Donald Trump, come on. We can do it. We're America. The Spirit does not call upon us to look within ourselves to do the fight. We're going to lose. He says, look to the armor that God's put upon you. Look outside yourself to what God's done. And when we have God outside of us, we win. We look within us to win the battle, we lose because we are too weak against a dragon, a snake, and a lion. And in summary, all the pieces of armor, in summary, are Christ. Put on Christ. He's our truth. He's our righteousness. He's our salvation. He's the gospel. He's the sword of the Spirit. He's the shield of faith. In summary, put on Christ. And we put on Christ in baptism. It's a very baptismal text. When you're baptized, Christ put himself on you. He clothed you. You're mine now. And he's ever on us. He's our armor. He's our protection. His arms are around us at the cross. Come on. Come in near me. I'll give you rest. I'll protect you. And dear friend, you're baptized. You're covered in Christ. You have nothing to be afraid of. Just don't be so foolish to take the armor off and say, I don't like this armor. I'll try it myself. That's leaving the church and leaving the word and sacrament. I'll try it myself. And you will die. And the devil will get you. Stay in Christ. Stay in the armor. And the last point here is be ready. Beware of the enemy. Believe in your armor, Christ. Stay in it. And be ready to fight. We just sang backward Christian soldiers, didn't we? We just sang retreat Christian soldiers. We just sang run in the corner and cower and hide and cry Christian soldiers. Is that what we sang? What did we sing? Onward, Christian soldiers. Marching as to what? Marching to sleep in my bed and do nothing. Marching as to war. Be ready to fight. And I mentioned 4 times we have the word stand. 4 times. Stand, stand, stand. Standing is the posture of boldness. It's the posture of I'm ready to fight. It's the posture of aggression if need be. I'm not going to back away. I'm not going to cry and pout. I'm not going to run and hide. I stand on Christ, the solid rock. I stand on the Word of God. I stand in Christ, and I'm ready. Stand. That's why we stand in church, not just to keep you awake. We stand because we're people of resurrection. We're people of the risen Lord. We're victorious already in Christ. So we stand in boldness. We confess our faith, sing, and so forth. That's why we stand in church. And finally, soldiers have to defend. And soldiers also are on the offense. We need to defend each other. That's why we have a church family. We are here to defend especially the weak. This is the children. We're here to defend the children to keep the devil away from them and keep them in the faith. Because they don't often know better. We defend the weak in the faith. Those are the new members and just people that are weak and struggling. The straying sheep on the edge of the flock. We don't say, go ahead and leave. We defend them. Come back in. This means we love people. We love our church family. We encourage each other. We talk to each other. We pray for each other. We give a gentle rebuke when needed. We give encouragement doubly when it's needed because it's needed all the time. We share the gospel. We share the gospel. This is defending the church. Someone strays, bring them back. Put your arms around them. We need you back. Come back to the flock. Come back under the armor of Christ. We miss you. This is what we do. But then we're on the offense too. Soldiers don't just defend, they go on the offense, and we're on the offense. That means we take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we want to rescue all people from the jaws of Satan and bring them to the family of God. And Lutherans are not often good at offense. We can defend pretty good. We teach the word well, defend. But when are we going to go on the offense and share the gospel and save lost souls? We are tough. We're tough against the world, we stand strong, but we're sensitive and compassionate to people. We keep our love and our mercy. You know, we had a bird in our fireplace the other day, and my wife panicked, there's a bird in the fireplace. Get the cat. No, I didn't say that. But I go to the fireplace, and I have this trash bag trying to open the fireplace and have the bird fly in the trash bag and take it out. Well, the bird escaped my trash bag and flew into the house. And the bird went underneath a dresser thing. And so I said, Ted, our dog, sick him. Our dog's really nice, but our dog will flush a bird out. And the dog runs underneath, and the bird flies in the air, and I get a towel now. I get smart. I get a towel, a bath towel, and I'm smacking around trying to knock that bird. And he runs on the floor. That bird's quick. And I'm trying to knock the bird and get the bird in the towel and knock it. And what is Ann and Tom was there? What are they crying out the entire time I'm chasing the bird around? Don't hurt it, Dad. Don't hurt it, Dad. I'm just trying to get the bird. Good news, I did not kill the bird. I just got it in a towel and I let it go free. But what struck me was I'm in this fit to get the bird, and the compassion of my son, he's compassionate, and the compassion of my wife for a bird. And our cat was in the house, and the cat didn't even seem to care. The compassion of my cat. You know, I'm just saying there's a lot of hurting little birds out there. A lot of herding sheep or little birds, for sake of illustration, that don't know where they're at and they get in the wrong place. And we are not to shoo them away and chase them away and hurt them and get out of here, and if you die, I don't care. We are here to bring them into God's house, bring them where they belong, the nest of our Savior. And that's love, folks. And that's compassion. And that's soldiers on the offense to rescue the little ones, the lost ones, from the jaws of Satan. And that's what we're about. So we're at war. Beware of the enemy. Believe in your armor and stand firm and be ready to fight. Defense and offense. Amen. Let's rise and sing the offertory, page 192. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Page 192.